There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This message will self-destruct.
What time is it? Danger!
It's time to begin the football weekend.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll up.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Spray.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Monday.
Red Folly.
What is happening?
I think I need to try to get the Oscar from last night. Did you catch Oscar?
I didn't
hear. I got some Oscars.
Who was given it? Was Rogers giving the Oscars last night? Oscar.
He's still doing the Green 19.
You got to go there.
Still doing that.
We definitely do need to find a... Does anybody ever have a Friday dummy call? Because Friday would be great for Football Friday.
Yeah, the Monday... Kind of sucks to play on a Friday, but it's a good call still.
It's a great call. I mean, it fits in. But with the theme, if you could find a Friday, one of those, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, quarterback calls are just, I think I texted to you guys last week, watching the Cowboys be down 44-19.
Here we go!
Yeah, here we go! You're down 20-plus points. Shut up.
One of the best highlights.
Can you audible out of your own quarterback call? If you're losing by 20 points, should you really be going, yeah, here we go?
It's like celebrating a touchdown when you're down by 21 and you start dancing in the end zone in the fourth quarter. Like, dude, you're getting embarrassed right now. Don't do that. Don't dance after that.
I can't remember who it was. There was a team. I go look at the score. There was a team losing pretty badly last week. And I had it at one of my games I was watching, and a DB got a stop, and he started doing, like, the big celebration.
I'm incomplete!
Like, they're down double digits.
Was it the Panthers?
It might have been a Panther game, yeah.
23-3. Like, dude, I've been waiting for something to celebrate
it was
all
a Panther
year,
game.
Man.
It was a Panther DB. He was like, no! And it was like, dude, you guys have done nothing.
I'm going to go ahead and put you in that box.
See the scoreboard from where you're at.
Give me the thumbs down. Put my sword away. We're only down 23.
I'll always defend, partially because I played the position when I did play tackle football in my life.
It's a DB, man.
I will always defend DBs on that. I always hear the people like, nothing drives me crazy than when the ball's way overthrown and the DB's doing the incomplete. Yeah,
act like you've been there before.
It's the second hardest position on the sport. Of course they're celebrating.
Hot take, corner harder than left tackle, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, left tackle. Hey, you're big.
Just block somebody. Come on.
You're
big. Easy. Nothing to it, man. Just stand in the way. You're 6'6", 350 pounds.
You ever hear Michael Irvin's rant on offensive linemen?
No, I have not.
I don't think offensive linemen would appreciate it.
Probably not.
But he did a rant once where he was talking about his position playing wide receiver versus lineman. He's like, what? You're a big fat guy. You just stand there and you get in the way because you're a big fat guy. I'm a receiver. I gotta get off the jam. And then I gotta run my route. And then I gotta catch. No one, I'm gonna get a hit. And then I gotta hold on to the ball. And he just ranted about how easy offensive
linemen
was.
Well, they can't really hit you anymore. So.
No, and when Irvin played, they could.
He
would get taken off the field on a stretcher, it felt like, every other
week.
Yeah,
he got his head and neck jammed into the turf at the old vet in Philly.
I'll never forget that moment. They cheered.
When he went down.
Like, they were going crazy. Like, yeah, hell yeah, dude, you're out of here.
Guy can't move. He might be paralyzed.
Make some plays now.
Let's go, Eagles.
I hated the Cowboys, like, more than I can describe as a kid.
I hated the Eagles. I still can't. Bring myself to root for the Eagles.
The rivalries won't die.
They never will.
Fandom might die, but the rivalry will never die.
But I remember seeing that as a kid in real time, and I was like, geez, you're cheering? This guy's on a neck stretcher, man.
It's a different level, man.
It is.
Different level. That's
absolute psychos.
They were the only jail in the stadium in the NFL because you got to lock people up while you're there.
I do. What I do wish, I don't have a lot of regret. Like, I'm not a good athlete. I'm not a high level athlete. I'm obviously here doing this.
Don't sell yourself short, you Park Rose legend over there.
I was right in the middle. I wasn't the worst, but I was never the best.
I was 17 points per game senior year. Come on now. Don't sell yourself short.
I was a human victory cigar.
Swag acknowledges his role on the basketball.
But I love the honesty.
We were called the 50 series. Yeah. All of our numbers were in the 50s.
We're up by 20. Here we go.
So when the game was over, we...
50
series.
Time to go
there
win.
There you go.
The thing I regret, though, is I wish when we played in high school, I wish we could have had what the kids now have. They get, like, I know somebody. I'm not really friends with them. I went to school with them, and I know of them. They're coaching at a local school, and he sent out a video on his Instagram, and it looks like a D1 college hype video, and they're not even a high school I'd heard of.
Yeah.
And they all have this. They have cool visors.
Cool gear.
They have the coolest gear. They all get to celebrate. They make a play. They do the seatbelt thing. And I'm just like, God, we didn't have any of that. I wish we had it. The coolest thing we had was the Dion mouthpiece.
Yeah.
The one that went over your mouth. Like, if you had that, that was the coolest thing you could get.
The coolest thing we got my senior year was the first of the longer shorts in the silky
stuff, yeah.
Going from the mesh and the short, the Kiki Vandeweghe's that I had. So they alternated every year. So they bought new jerseys. So every other year it was home or away. So the away jerseys were new for varsity, and then they handed everything down.
Right.
So we got the silky Carolina blue Nikes.
Yeah.
Longer shorts.
Yeah. Shorts were down to, what do we get down
just
to?
Just above
the
knee?
Top of the knee.
Yeah, we got below the knee, and then we all were like, why did we do this? Let's go above the knee.
So
again.
We love going on the road. We got the cool new road jerseys. The home was still that scratchy mesh with the short shorts.
Yeah.
I still make fun of my brother to this day because when we were in high school, everybody likes doing the one sleeve thing or the half a sleeve or like the shooter sleeve. That's a big deal. And those were starting to come into trend when we were younger. But you couldn't really like go buy them. There wasn't like a Dick's that you could just go like buy a sleeve. G.I. Joe's wasn't selling those.
I know what he did because everybody at my high school
did it. He found the long knee-high socks
and cut the
foot off of the sock and he'd have like up to the elbow sleeves on each arm, and I still make fun of him for it to this day.
We did have somebody that got smarter than that because there were a couple kids that also had the long sock, and then one guy was like, you idiots. And what he did is he had found a long sleeve Under Armour and he cut the sleeve off.
Cut the sleeve off.
And it looked real. It looked like the real deal Holyfield.
The hard part was, though, that the top of it's not always, we don't have big enough muscles to hold
too
it up.
Small arms.
So eventually it would start like rolling down as the game would go on. And so you'd almost have to like take the long sleeve Under Armour and just cut one of the sleeves off.
Yeah.
And then you could have one long sleeve and look like a badass.
Oh, man. You thought you looked the coolest back then. And then you look at it now and you're like, I didn't look cool at all.
No, you look like an absolute.
The thing that hasn't, although changed over the years, is the sock game. Like how you get your socks. Do you fold them down? Do you push them down so they're all scrunched? Do you go all the way up?
Yeah, I'm a mid sock. I mean, I don't have. Yeah. I think I'm actually like I buy those mid level socks. They're not too high, but they're not low. A
couple of inches above the shoe.
I got dainty wrists and ankles, so I'm not like a real ankle guy.
You're not trying to show off your calves.
Yeah, I like the calves, but the socks go just below the calf, so it accentuates the calf, but it hides my dainty ankles.
The little skinny ankles.
I think ours that we had were actually above the calf, and so it was the right amount of fold over. And I had to wear two pairs of socks because I have skinny ankles and skinny
exactly.
feet.
Why don't you wear an ankle brace? They don't have ankle braces back then?
They were the big, bulky lace-up
couldn't
ones.
Move in
Dude,
them.
Those things were not comfortable. I wore one once,
basically
too.
Cut off the blood flow to your feet.
Yeah,
so.
That's not good for anybody.
It wasn't like I had to worry about playing 30 minutes a night.
Right.
So
yeah, but what people don't remember or do anymore that we do or that we did is the sock fold down. Like it would be a long sock, but you would fold it down onto your foot.
Yep.
And so the sock is folded onto your foot.
Yeah.
I tell my kid this all the time, how gross. Like I look back now and I don't know how I did this, but it was just the moment, I guess. I did that with my socks. Disgusting. And every day I wore basketball shorts under jeans.
Under jeans constantly.
By the way, the jeans were being held up from the bottom because I didn't have tapered jeans with rubber bands.
Yes.
And then I took those off, and I just play full court basketball for lunch, 30 minutes straight, like just giving dudes buckets. and then drenching sweat, put those jeans back on with the rubber bands at the bottom.
Go to afternoon classes.
And then just go back to class.
All right, fifth period time. Here we go.
And just like think nothing of it. And I don't think I stunk because nobody ever was like, dude, you stink, but... how did I not stink?
Little Axe body spray, throw the jeans back on, and we're back class, man. It's time for geology. Here we go. Let's learn about some rocks, man. I just scored 27 at halftime.
A little American history down there.
You're damn right. I had a friend about the Constitution.
A friend in high school named Julio, and the way he would use Axe body spray, he would call it a specific shower.
Yes.
And it was the funniest thing.
Sprague! You got to take a shower.
Come on, man.
Like, oh, you're going to smell great when you go back to class. You're going to smell terrible. It is funny how much more readily available all that stuff is. Like, I remember when I was younger, I used to get the East Bay catalog every year, which was always a big deal.
Oh, my God, the East Bay.
When the East Bay catalog would come out, and every year I would put together a Christmas list of just the most, unnecessary... like everything that you could think of that I would see in a NBA game, Major League Baseball game, or an NFL game.
Did you ever get it?
Never got a single thing.
Yeah, my
never.
Mom was
I want
never
a visor. I would want, you know, you just look at in the catalog, you're like, ooh, this looks great. I want to put this on my list, and never got a single thing. And kudos to my parents for not buying any of that.
Really?
Because it would have been a giant waste of money, and I probably, none of it would have fit. Probably I would have looked like an idiot. So kudos to them for being like, no, you're not getting any of that.
The only thing, I mean, there was always cool stuff in an East Bay mag. And we always used to circle around and look at it and like circle. Oh, I want that. Oh, I want that. The one thing I always wanted, I never got. And I remember I used to give my mom a hard time. Like, you wouldn't be living in this piece of crap trailer if you would have bought this for me. those shoes designed to make you jump higher.
Of course. You got to get the vertical. Yes. You got to work on your calves. Work on your jump game.
Jimmy.
Don't
Jimmy
touch
used them in Seinfeld.
Jimmy. Don't touch Jimmy.
But I always wanted those, and they were always like, I don't know, $100 or so. My mom wasn't buying those, but I'd always be like, man, if I got these.
I could have dunked.
I'm going to the league.
I could have gone D1.
All it's missing is the dunk.
Free scholarship to hoop.
And we never got it.
No, we never got it. That was the thing holding me back, man. Oh. With those, the life would have been totally different.
You know, we really had it perfect.
We did.
His generation wasn't bad. They got better at the end towards his youth. I think our generation had it perfect.
Yeah, there wasn't too much stuff.
Phones weren't
enough.
Ruining our lives. Yeah. You were on the internet, but like largely you didn't because it was like...
Yeah, AOL Instant Messenger would take forever. That was kind of the start of
it. You know, you were doing the collect calls to tell your mom pick you up, but you knew she wouldn't accept, and that was how you communicated. I'm at the movie theater, I'm ready to go. Bye. And then she would get the, I'm at the movie theater, hang up, you get your money back. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, 7 seconds.
We kind of had it. We had it perfect.
We really did. I was watching a clip yesterday. There was a thing that popped up on my Twitter timeline, and this blew my mind. It was a highlight tape of six-year-old football. Six-year-old tackle football.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't either. And they all had, like, on this note of gear, they all had, like, the helmets look bigger than their bodies.
They look
because they're just massive.
Yes.
And it's like, this does, how do you even stand up? I feel like you're just going to fall over. They had, like, the turf tape on the back of the elbows, sleeves and everything. And it's just, what are we doing? These are six-year-olds, man.
Cool six-year-olds you've ever
seen. And then somebody chimed in on the comments, like, I don't know if six-year-old tackle football is a really good idea. And then a bunch of bros jumped in.
You don't have to play them, bro. Okay. In Texas, they start at 5, man. Start them young.
Get your woke parenting out of here.
Like, Jesus, dude.
All right, no big deal.
We'll start the CTE early, I guess.
Man. What a fun flashback Friday that was.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
I think we're all trying to rinse the taste of last night's game out of our mouth.
Gross.
A nice reminder that the NFL is great, and then they give you that from time to time when it's a standalone game.
You know what that was? That was the pale ale Stifler drank in American Pie. That's what that was last night.
It wasn't good.
I told you guys asked me, going to watch it?
I mean, I watched most of it. I had it on my
probably
TV.
Probably not great, but I'm going to end up watching it.
I walked away.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you.
Good
walked
for you.
Away.
Good
took
for
the
you.
Under. I knew it hit, and I walked away.
I'm not watching the rest of this.
I'm
great.
Good.
It's over.
All right. Well, it is a football Friday. However. I need to start in the most important of places. I'm a flip-flopper. Notorious. It's why I could never be a politician. Hey, what's your issue on this policy? This is my stance on the policy. And a week later, I think I've changed my mind. I'm on the other side of that policy.
I'm pro-abortion. I'm anti-abortion. I'm pro-abortion, anti-abortion.
I'll do anything for your vote.
Yes.
And that's where I think I landed after yesterday's historical day. So we'll start there. Dirt and Sprague. We'll Sprague the line today. Let's get it going on the fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, well, I'm back. It got me.
He's back, baby. That didn't take long. I missed my. I didn't have my phone for like 2 hours yesterday, and I pick it up, and I'm like, whoa, group chat going crazy. What did I mean? Oh, okay, big things are happening here today. All right.
Snip, snap.
He's exactly. Back.
Baseball sucks. It's great. Baseball sucks. I'm out. It's great.
Shohei Ohtani yesterday, you heard there Joe Davis on the call. They were playing the Marlins, the lowly Marlins, which...
Which normally you wouldn't give... I'd be like, okay.
That was a Dodger home game, was what that was last night.
The Marlins don't have home games.
They don't have home
games.
They
are the Chargers in Major League Baseball. Can I, before we get into this, give a quick shout-out?
Sure.
To Skip Schumacher?
Yeah, the manager of the Marlins.
The Marlins. He was asked after the game of like, hey, you know...
Why didn't you walk him?
Maybe we should do... And he was like, dude... No.
Did you see the video of him?
Of Skip Schumacher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
During the game.
Of the game, yeah.
He was asked in the dugout, hey, we're going to walk him. And he said, F no.
No.
It, something to the effect of like, the guy's too much of a legend for that S.
Dude, we suck. We're done. Yeah. Our season's over. Yeah. Why? This win means nothing to us. Let's see what he can do. Let's see if we can get him out. Good for him.
So the Shohei 50-50 watch has been underway for about 2 weeks now. This dude is going to be the NL MVP.
Should be unanimous.
It shouldn't. There not should be a single vote for any other player. It's not even a discussion. So he comes in. You heard the stolen base there. So he's got 50 stolen bases or 51st stolen base.
Yeah, he actually stole another one. So he was at 49-51.
51. And then he got to the homer.
On a 1-2, Ohtani sends one in the air. The other way. Back it goes. Season. Shohei Ohtani starts the 50-50 club.
That one goes oppo. This is LA Sportsnet. And then later on in the game in the ninth.
They got a position player. It's out of control. It's
the game
already
is,
like
blowing them
15-3
out.
Or something
it's
like that.
It's 14-3. Yeah. There are two runners on in the top of the ninth with two out. Ohtani on a 2-0 pitch does this.
Smiling. We all are watching this guy. This is not real life. He is not human.
6 for 6, 3 home runs, 2 doubles, 1 single, 10 RBIs, 4 runs scored, 2 stolen bases, and he became the first player, obviously.
And one of those doubles, he got thrown out trying to go to third. And if he had gotten there, he would have had a cycle.
Would have been a cycle on top of it.
Most stolen bases in a 50-homer season, he's got 51, so he has the record. Can you guess second?
Oh.
The second most stolen bases in a 50-homer season.
I'll let Dirt go.
I would guess.
Do you know this?
I believe I saw the graphic.
Because you were watching.
You saw the graphic?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I mean, I would guess Bonds.
No.
No, not Bonds.
A more recent player.
More recent
not
player.
Not a whole lot more recent, but a little more recent.
With 50 bombs.
Yeah.
I got no... Yeah.
A-Rod.
Okay.
24. Can you guess the other player tied
to A-Rod? He's one of the few guys within the 40-40 club. It's only six that have ever done 40-40, and A-Rod's one of them. I know that.
Now, the other guy tied with A-Rod is right up your wheelhouse.
Bonds.
No. Close.
Close.
I believe it's Junior.
No.
Oh, I thought Junior had...
No.
Okay.
Right up my wheelhouse.
It's right up your wheelhouse.
With that many home runs and that many stolen bases.
Hey. I said hey.
Oh, Willie Mays.
Willie Mays.
Hey, there you go.
Say
there
hey,
go.
Kid. I'm back. I don't have a dog in the fight because my team, well, they had a good day yesterday, but they suck. They're not very good. I needed him to do this. I got to be honest with you to get me in. He's going to be in the playoffs for the first time in his career. That's the greatest baseball game I think I've ever seen. And
it's not the thing. That is the greatest baseball game that has ever happened.
Well, you guys
from an offensive standpoint,
that's the greatest single offensive
game. It's the greatest game, right?
What he did yesterday has literally never happened in the 800-year history of Major League Baseball.
And I know the records and all that, like he's the best player I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, yeah. He is the only player, only one Major League Baseball player over the course of his entire career in a single game or not. Okay? Like, think about that. Over the their entire career, in a single game or not, like, it could be 1 year I did one of the things this year, and the next year I did one of the things here. He is the only player who has ever done it over the course of their entire career with 10-plus RBIs in a game, 6-plus hits in a game, 5-plus extra base hits in a game, 3-plus home runs, and 2-plus stolen bases. And he did it all on the same day. Nobody, I mean, that's just, that was the single greatest offensive performance we have ever seen. He accumulated in WAR yesterday. Yes, nerd alert, WAR. 0.7, it like boosted to his WAR in one single game. Alex Verdugo on the season has a 0.6 WAR. He accumulated more in win above replacement in one game than Alex Verdugo, who's been a really good pro for the last 10 years, basically. He accumulated more WAR than him in one afternoon in Miami. It is absolute insanity, man. And that he's the greatest. He is the greatest baseball player of all time.
Records or not, this is the greatest baseball player we've ever seen in our lives.
Because he's not the greatest hitter of all time. This is one of the greatest single season accomplishments we've ever seen. But you could go with an average or a power hitter who maybe is better.
Yeah.
You could go with a pitcher who maybe is. But nobody has ever done this both.
Nobody's doing this.
And he's going to be back to pitching next year, man.
He might be pitching in the playoffs.
That was a huge discussion. I flipped over to MLB tonight. So it was Amsinger, Pedro, and Harold Reynolds. And there's a growing belief that they might use him as a closer if they need to get some final outs.
Imagine he closes.
Because if the Dodgers are going to advance in the playoffs, it's going to be games like that. They're going to have to win.
Yeah. Pitching is an issue for
them. Yes, it absolutely is.
They are not. Their pitching staff is in shambles. They're going to have to slug their way in advance in the playoffs.
Is this? I think I put it on my show sheet. This is the greatest bounce back from losing a parlay of all time, right?
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's pretty good. Think about what he's been through
How
this year.
How long ago does that feel, by the
Feels
way?
Feels like
the
it was gambling 5 years
scandal.
Ago. 5 years yeah. ago.
I just,
at minimum.
It's unbelievable. We know he's good. We've said this already on the show, but like, how do you
this
top something?
This is superhero comic book stuff.
This is unbelievable. It's one thing to join the club. Okay, he did it last night. Okay. And then you tell me he goes 6-for-6 with multiple homers and 10 RBIs.
He's got nine games left.
9 games.
Imagine 55, he does 55. This next year, and oh, by the way, wins 20 and strikes out 300.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just nuts.
I can't comprehend that.
I'll ask you, I got an audio clip I want to play, because it might be the worst sports take of all time. All time.
Was it from me?
It's not. Okay. We give bad ones. This is you don't have one this bad.
This is next level bad.
I can squat 300.
I know that it's a small sample size here, and I'm getting over my skis. Terrell Davis got in the NFL Hall of Fame off of 6 good seasons. Is he a Hall of Fame player?
I mean, we're doing that now. Eli Manning's on the ballot, and this is again being discussed.
Oh, I wanted to get to that, actually.
He had 2 years in his career, and outside of that, not much.
Don't you consider giving him a vote? If he's on your ballot, like, well,
who, Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
You know my stance on the Hall of Fame. I find this restrictive club thing ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy's one of the most impactful players the sport has ever seen.
They needed him to do this
like
stuff.
Nobody, like, stop with the Babe Ruth stuff. Nobody's ever done this before. He's not playing against plumbers and janitors.
No.
Okay? This isn't an
and
only
Babe
white
Ruth
league.
Only pitched for a few seasons at the start
yes,
of his career.
And it was only whites. And there was like 7 teams. Okay? Like, just stop. That fat ass couldn't hang in today's Major League Baseball. Now, you can make an argument.
What did Babe do to you, man?
I mean, I hate when people do that of like, let's be honest, Babe's probably the greatest player of all. Like, no, he's not, dude. You can put his fat ass into a conversation about importance in the
Why
sport.
Why do you keep referencing his fat ass?
Because he couldn't do anything in modern baseball, and it's a fact, and we all know it's a fact, but we have to pretend because numbers exist and the sport likes numbers, and oh, you could, you know, he's got all those home runs, man. Like, you can make an argument there's been eras in which it's harder to pitch, like probably the steroid era. Harder to pitch than it is now.
Sure.
Guys are more prone to strike out and swing for the fences. So you go back to like the 90s, it's probably harder to pitch back then, or early 2000s. But I also think you can make a strong argument, and I don't even really know if there is a counter argument, that it has never been harder to hit. in this sport. You have more guys throwing harder than they ever have. You have
you
more
see
guys
more
with
different
nasty
pitchers
stuff
during a game.
Yes, you don't have guys that are going. I mean, it frustrates me as a fan, but you don't have these guys going 9, 10 innings on every start and pitching into the 12th or 13th like Juan Marichal used to. You have a fresh arm that throws 102 basically every inning. And oh, by the way, I'm going to go 50-50. It's never been harder to hit, and he just did something that nobody has ever done in the sport that combines two of the most important tools of hitting. He hits for power, he hits for average, and he stole 50 bases.
Shohei Ohtani has played 866 Major League Baseball games. That's the most among all players on an active roster to have never played in the postseason until this year.
It's great for the sport, man.
Oh,
I hate that
way,
it's in that jersey, but it is awesome for the sport.
And with the win, the Dodgers clinched their playoff spot.
So that is the tough part, too, because I know you're a Giant fan, and that rivalry when your team is good and they're good, it means something. I totally get it.
Oh, I'll be rooting against him. I love Ohtani, but I'll be rooting against him.
But he's transcendent enough that I think a lot of people, not Giant fans that don't really like the Dodgers, will overlook it to just root
just
for him.
And you start wondering that how badly does Major League Baseball want a Dodger-Yankee World Series Judge and Ohtani?
I think they would do unspeakable things to people
they would
if it meant they could
there's
get
if there's a funky call early in some divisional round matchup, you just keep your antennas up, man.
I have it.
That was a strike three? Really? We call that a strike three to end the game? Okay.
Have you changed your Joe Davis position because he is amazing?
I think he's good for a local TV guy. I'm not a big fan of him as the national guy.
Those are great calls.
Those are great. Those are really good calls.
No issue with those calls.
Here is the worst sports take. Dirt, you've had your fair share.
A lot of bad takes.
We know I've had my bad takes. Swag, you've been in this business long enough. You got a lot of bad takes. We all got bad takes. This is the worst take ever given. This was Shohei Ohtani had played one spring training game as an Angel. His first year, Mike Francesa. Tell us how lucky the Yankees are they didn't get him.
Ken, I'm with you. How about Ohtani now? No, it's funny. If the Yankees had gotten Ohtani,
and they wanted him badly,
he wouldn't have been here.
No, he would not only wouldn't have been here. The question is he going to embarrass somebody? Is he going to be as bad as everyone says
he's
been?
Awful in spring training.
This is a guy who people were talking about being the greatest player in baseball. They have the best player in baseball on that team. They brought a guy in, and they were talking this guy up like crazy, and he hasn't produced anything yet. The Yankees are lucky they didn't get him.
Lucky they didn't get him. And I believe the analogy there is that Giancarlo Stanton is the best player in baseball.
Something like that.
I think that's the analogy there. Good power hitter, but
that guy is going to be considered the greatest radio host in sports of all time. And he gave that take.
He was carried by his co-host for years. Mad Dog carried his ass, man.
We're seeing who won the divorce.
Yes, I mean, it's not even close. One guy is still relevant and the other guy's stuck in a closet somewhere with a backdrop.
Unbelievably bad take. There was also a scout, I guess, of Shohei coming into Major League Baseball who said he's a high school hitter at best.
I saw that. Yeah, that was floating around yesterday.
Look, we can all evaluate players and we say, I'm not as high on that guy or this quarterback.
I'm not certain if it'll translate.
When you go to that level, I'm not kidding. You should lose your job.
Yeah.
You should lose your job.
And when you say this guy's going to suck, this guy will not be good. It's a blessing the Yankees didn't sign him. It's not like, hey, will it translate from Japan? Will he be able to do both? Will he burn himself out?
I questioned it. I was like, he's going to have to be a pitcher. He's going to have to be a hitter. He can't do both. And then he did both. And I'm like, well, I was wrong.
I guess he can win another MVP. And now this year, he couldn't even pitch. He couldn't even do half of what makes him great. And he said, I'm going to go out and go 50-50. How's that sound? I'll be the only guy to ever do it. 50-50 is so absurd, man.
It's nuts.
Like,
it really is.
This, to me, I know the Judge stuff a couple of years ago. What did he end up with? 62,
right?
Or whatever
it was. He set
the
AL record.
Set the AL record, broke Roger Maris's AL record, and that was a big deal when it happened. I don't want to disparage that. It's very cool that he broke the AL record. I know for some weird people that hated the greatest era of baseball we've ever seen, the steroid era, they try to pretend that that was the real home run record. This is the most impressive thing outside of those dudes in the late 90s and early 2000s cranking bombs like nobody's business. This is the most impressive thing that I have ever seen.
I know it was a regional game on the Sportsnet channel that not everybody has. I know the numbers are not going to bear this out. He beat football yesterday. I'm sorry.
From an entertainment standpoint,
from an entertainment interest standpoint, he beat football yesterday.
We also need to make fun of the guy in the Marlins crowd, the guy in the teal shirt that didn't full-on dive for number 50.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was like a kind of lazy reach out, and like, are you just there and don't acknowledge what's happening? Do you not comprehend?
I would do anything to catch that ball.
How much that baseball. And the guy who ended up getting it said, he kept it. The Dodgers tried to get it after the game, and he was like, nope, I'm holding on to this thing.
I hate this conversation.
I do too, but I don't blame anybody.
You definitely can get a lot of money for that, but like, That guy has worked his entire life for that moment. Isn't a sign-worn hat, doesn't that do enough for you?
That's not getting you $1 million, buddy. That's not $1 million.
Oh, capitalism.
How about you take 1% of those future earnings that you're going to make in 37 years and give them to me, Shohei?
Why don't you defer some of that money to me?
Defer it to me now, and then you can have your baseball.
All right. Well, it is a football Friday, but we had to start there. Shohei was awesome. He continues to be awesome, and he's got me back in. I'll watch playoff baseball. I'm in.
What if he loses in the first round? Are you out again?
I'm out.
Where's Adley? Is Adley still in?
He's going to be in the playoffs.
Quan's still in?
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. All right, let's get to some Football Friday stuff. We'll start next on The Fan. Well, it's Football Friday. We all love our football. We'll get into some college stuff here. Big weekend for old Trent Bray down in Corvallis.
It is. I just read an article, too. They got a bunch of visitors coming into town this weekend. Big recruiting weekend for them.
I saw they had recruits on the sidelines last weekend, and I went,
I mean, you got to do it. That's
Shield
your,
them away.
I know. That's your biggest home game of the year. You got to have recruits in that weekend.
We'll get into the NFL slate as well. What's better this weekend? Noodle on this. Is it college or is it NFL with the matchups you have? I was thinking about that last night. We'll get to that coming up.
Okay.
I do want to ask the question, is Eli Manning a first ballot Hall of Famer? He's going to get in. His last name's Manning.
He will get in.
Is he first ballot?
You beat Tom Brady twice, and so you're 2-0 against Brady in Super Bowls.
Two games for a whole career.
That's all you need,
man. Which I saw you be very in. Okay.
Yeah, in those big games, though. Yeah. In those big games.
Never forget. Football Friday reminds me of the passion and the obsession we have with that sport. And also the psychotic nature of football fan. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but it feels like it's getting to almost a weirdly uncomfortable level, football. And there's a few stories I wanted to share to kind of highlight this. Dan Campbell just had to move.
I saw this yesterday.
Because his address got leaked following their 49er NFC championship loss, and people were randomly showing up to his house.
Now, when they lost the game, was it in a way to, like, celebrate and congratulate him or to bitch and moan? I'm assuming that, right? You're the Lions. You've never been to an NFC title game before. I would hope you're there laying flowers at his door.
Please tell me the level-headed football fans you know of. I'd love to know them.
Imagine being a Detroit Lion fan where you've had nothing your entire lifetime, your entire existence on this planet. You've got to enjoy literally zero things outside of great players who retired early.
Yeah.
You finally get a coach who gets you to an NFC title game, and you're going to go to his house because he lost the game?
I saw this on Yahoo, and it was kind of a mix. There were initially people showing up and being creepy. And he said there were people driving by and just like honking their horn. Hey, coach,
love you, Campbell.
And it got to be a bit much because he lives in a ritzy area. And so he's got some land, but he's got neighbors, too. And so it became a little bit. So he sells his house. He sold his house within 24 hours of listing it. He made $1 million on it.
Hey, good deal.
The guy that bought it is a super huge Lions fan.
Of course it is.
It sold within 24 hours of being listed. Imagine being such a Lions fan. You're like, oh, I can buy Dan Campbell's house.
I'm going to live in the same house as him. I'm going to walk around and smell the air. It's going to be great.
Can you leave the bed sheets on there?
Don't clean anything, man.
I need that masculinity
in my life.
I'm
going to touch what he touched.
Will Levis had his number leaked following his second loss to the Jets. People were texting him all kinds of things that you could imagine.
Yeah.
People would text. Losing quarterback.
I'm actually surprised that that doesn't happen more often in sports, to be honest with you.
Well, and Peyton Thorne, former quarterback of the Auburn Tigers, had Venmo requests through the yin-yang of people who gambled on Auburn to beat Cal, but they lost to the woke agenda, so Peyton Thorne had over, like, 190 Venmo requests.
Alabama is no match for the woke agenda, man. Auburn couldn't hang. That state can't hang with the woke agenda when they come to town. I remember
Is that Cal's new nickname, by
that
the
is,
way?
They're
I think
the
it's
woke
sticking
agenda.
On them.
I mean, their social media trends in the last week have been delightful. Now they're going on the road to Florida State this weekend, which just, they're getting points. Make that make sense. Florida State starting 0-4.
Do they get the right to choose if Cal wins
yes,
at Florida
they
State?
They absolutely do. That is one of the more entertaining games, I think, of the weekend, just because everything that's happened with Florida State. Them starting 0-4 is hilarious to think about. Bo Nix has done interviews, though, where he said that used to happen to him when he was at Auburn, too.
What is wrong with football fans?
When he would lose games at somebody, you know, because you grow up, especially if you're from that state, you have friends from high school and all that. Like, some of that stuff's just common knowledge. And then somebody leaks it or somebody sends it, and you have your Venmo's out there. And people are saying, hey, I lost $50 on my Auburn parlay this week because you threw two picks. I want my $50 back, damn it. I'm sending you a request.
The Campbell animal one's a little creepy.
Super creepy.
Showing up to houses and being weird, like, I'm very uncomfortable with where sports fandom has gone.
Yes.
And now we've got legalized gambling everywhere, so people now have financial ties to this stuff.
Yeah, it just
gets a little uncomfortable.
How do you get... I mean, I know there's weird people, and people, like, there was the guy from Oregon the other day who was caught stalking the...
Paige Beckers. We had an Oregonian go all the way out to UConn to try to propose to her.
We did. Yeah, that's going to work out, buddy. Good idea. Let's fly all the way out there.
Maybe just ruined our WNBA chances of getting her on our franchise.
She ain't coming here as a free agent.
Full of stalkers out here.
Not happening in a million years. I didn't get to that point in life, man.
De Niro, like, Wesley Snipes. What was that? The Fan?
The Fan movie.
He kidnaps him or whatever.
Kidnaps him and his kids. It's just... I understand that we're all passionate, but to think of how you would get to the point to where I'm going to go drive by the head coach's house.
It's creepy.
And honk and yell things or celebrate or boo or what, like wait for him to come. Oh, I saw him in the window. I saw Dan Campbell. Like, you got issues, man. Go see a therapist.
Go to the camp. Yes. Go to camp and get an autograph.
Go stand on the sideline. You can get his autograph. It'd be great.
Now, childhood Sprague would be like, I'd ride my bike past Dan Campbell's house. That's Dan Campbell's house.
I'm in the neighborhood, man. This is pretty cool.
Hi, Dan!
I wonder if all the neighbors forced him to sell, too, because that has to be a super nice, ritzy neighborhood.
He said he was thinking of his neighbors, and he felt really bad because he didn't want to, you know, make them feel uncomfortable. Yeah. So he didn't have everybody driving by that was weirdly stalkerish, upset, but there were enough people for him to say, I'm going to move. My address leaked. I'm getting out of here.
Detroit's had one taste of success. What are we doing here, man?
I don't know.
Let's be patient, okay? Let this thing build a little bit. It was 1 year.
What is better, the college slate or the NFL slate? We'll get to that. Big weekend for Trent Bray. We got a lot more to get into on a Football Friday. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 1080 The Fan. We got a poll question up at the show page at Dirt and Sprague. You can see it at 1080 The Fan as well. And... the poll question is, what are the Oregon State expectations for their game versus Purdue this week? And just win, baby. Beavs cover the spread, -4. That's according to Alan A. Beavs win by 7-10, or Beav blowout?
Blowout, Beav.
We'll run through the results of that poll question so far. It's only 10 hours up. You can follow the show page again, at Dirt and Sprague. We will follow you back. We got a lot of football to get into. What is the better slate this weekend? You are leaving town this weekend. The Ducks have a bye. You're a busy pregame Duck guy, so you're taking advantage of their off weekend.
Heading to Sun River today.
We got a good Friday night game, at least on paper, I think.
Ranked Illinois matchup.
Yeah, ranked-ish.
That'll be a defensive struggle. That'll be your quintessential Big Ten game. Dylan Raiola is off to a good start, but let's not act like he's lighting the world on fire. Yeah. And Illinois is physical and runs the football.
Yeah, I just can't get past his Mahomes stuff. It's
a little much.
It's making him unlikable to me.
It's a little much.
Like him, idolize him, cool, copy him somewhat. He's doing the pregame thing where he runs and he jumps like him and he does the arm motions. And
he's trying to say that he's not copying him, which everybody's like, what are we doing? And now people have talked about, does Dylan Raiola do the Patrick Mahomes better than Patrick Mahomes does the Patrick Mahomes? Is he so good at portraying him that he looks more like Patrick Mahomes does?
Illinois at Nebraska tonight. That's a top 25 game.
Cougs play tonight too, man.
Cougs play tonight as well.
San Jose State. Letdown spot. Yep. Don't get caught sleeping, Cougs.
We had some big peepees on that. Arkansas State almost beat Michigan in the Big House. They go to Iowa State tomorrow morning. I don't know if that's of any interest to people.
I think one of those games that intrigues me is Miami's on the road at South Florida. South Florida almost knocked off Bama. Their coach is starting to gain some traction as maybe a Florida candidate, maybe one of those up-and-coming guys. That's just one. You're going on the road. I know it's in the same state, but I'll keep an eye on that one.
Whittingham's going to Stillwater against Oklahoma State, a battle of undefeateds and maybe Big 12 supremacy there.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech is 3-1. They're going to the road on Louisville. Louisville's a top 25 team. USC at Michigan, which we've briefly mentioned. We'll get back more into that. Tennessee, Oklahoma. You know, Kansas State, maybe a BYU upset alert on a Saturday night. And then you look at the NFL slate, and yesterday was absolute dog crap.
It was horrible.
Niners-Rams is a MASH unit versus a MASH unit, so I don't know how interesting that is.
I think the college slate has the potential to be better.
Really?
I think it depends on how you think the two big games will go. How do you see USC-Michigan going, and how do you see Tennessee-Oklahoma going? Because if you think those are tight games, then I think college has the better slate, which I do think there will be tight games, so I'll answer college here.
Chiefs at Falcons. I don't know how good that will be. Lions at Cardinals is interesting. Ravens at Cowboys.
Eagles at Saints. Packers at Titans.
Jags at Bills. Like, Jags might be playing for their season here. And the Bills,
and the Texans are at the Vikings. Rolling.
Yeah.
That's the other one.
I think there's five good games in the NFL slate this weekend. That, like, if you tell me,
on paper,
like, if I had to watch that game single individually, I'd be like, okay, I'll watch that. Like, Chargers-Steelers is interesting, but I don't want to watch the entire game. That's going to be an awful football game.
Probably.
But just one of those teams starting 3-0 is a good storyline, and so I'm interested to see the outcome of it. Jacksonville's is kind of that way, too. Like, that's more of a storyline of Jacksonville starting 0-3. Oof. Jacksonville's not a fun team to watch right now.
No,
their offense doesn't look good. They seem to be broken. Trevor Lawrence, his sack percentage is not very good this year when he's pressured.
Ravens-Cowboys, whoever loses, is their season cooked.
Yeah, I mean, Ravens starting
0-3. Well, that's the story on Monday, right? The ESPN stuff. And by the way, we nailed it yesterday.
You guys,
we told you.
Yeah.
Oh, the Mel Kiper thing, Dirt, I think you called it. He gave the take that they needed so all their shows could run with it. Colin ran with it. McAfee ran with it. Everybody nationally ran with that headline of the too high safety. Too high safety. Okay.
It's breaking, football. Everybody, that, I mean, that's just the beauty of media now. Somebody say something stupid, and then we all spend 24 hours reacting to it and sending out angry tweets. I'm going to give you the college slate. So I think Nebraska can win tonight, and if you look at their schedule going forward, there's a good chance of going into Ohio State, they're 7-0, which I don't think anybody's putting them into a category of actually winning a championship, and they'll probably get bludgeoned by Ohio
State.
That's
a bowl game berth.
But that's a bowl game berth. They haven't been since 2016. I think that's cool for college football that they're back and they're relevant again. I look at the two big games this weekend, and I think they're both going to be really good games. Now, not perfectly aesthetically pleasing, but I don't see USC blowing out Michigan the way that Texas did. I think Texas is on a much different level from where USC is at right now. And I think Michigan is in, this is like fight or flight mode, and our season's on the line, and we got to come to play, and they're good. I think Michigan's going to have one of their better performances. I do think Orgy gives them a better chance at winning. So I think that's going to be a tight game. And then I think a lot of people are looking at Tennessee-Oklahoma because of what's happened the last 2 weeks with Oklahoma and just saying, blowout. That one, there's no chance. Like, Nico is a young quarterback starting for the first time in his career. He's going on the road into a hostile environment for the first time in his career. And one of Oklahoma's best players is their wide receiver, Nick Anderson, who I believe had 10 touchdown catches last year. He has not played yet this year. He's been out, and he's their number one returning.
Passing game has struggled.
Their passing game has been awful.
Jackson Arnold's doing it on the ground.
He's going to play this week. So you got your number one target back on the outside. And I just, like, you get that kind of environment and atmosphere in Norman, Oklahoma, you're going to get a little bit of boost in the way that you're playing. This isn't some, you know, afterthought opponent on FS1. This is the primetime game on ABC. So I think you get Oklahoma and Michigan's best punch this weekend. Those both end up being great games, and so I think the college slate will be better.
We do have maybe some Heisman stuff to think about now. It's early in the college football season. Quinn Ewers is not going to play against UL Monroe. It's going to be Arch. And it's UL Monroe, and so Texas is going to win by 50, and I'm sure everybody's going to be salivating over every Arch highlight that we see. Here was Sark yesterday on Ewers, still having goals that he can achieve.
You know, one thing I tried to impress upon Quinn, you know, all the goals he had and that we've had for him coming into this season are all still there for him. I think we have a national championship caliber team, and he's the quarterback of that team.
He's playing this perfectly. You let him rest, get 100%. You should roll UL Monroe. Arch will do good enough to make people go, oh, we're good next year too. Like, you're going to count your chickens before they hatch for next year while still having a national title contender this year because your quarterback, your starting quarterback, is going to get healthy because you're beating a patsy this weekend.
You know who they got next week too?
Probably a patsy.
Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Who just got bludgeoned at home by Toledo, I believe, this last weekend. That's the worst program in the SEC, which Vanderbilt's in there. So that's saying something. Mississippi State is terrible. I think if you gave him truth serum, he'd tell you he's psyched that this is happening.
Who?
Steve Sarkisian.
I don't think you need to give him truth serum. I think he would just tell you this is great. Quinn's going to get healthy, and Arch is going to get all this experience
for next year,
and we'll be perfect.
Instead of just in blowout time, you're going to get to actually play him in an entire game, and that's perfect for them next year.
I need to go to the second hour. I'll ask you this, and I guess I don't know this answer to the question. Does anybody have a better setup right now than Texas this year than next year?
No.
Nobody knows who their quarterback is next year, almost year to year in any top 25 program.
There's a lot of really talented freshmen, five-star guys, and like Ohio State's got a big one, Alabama's got a big one.
But
like,
you're not counting on them to do it next year.
It's never a guarantee. Yes. Like, Oregon fans are super high on Dante Moore, but who the hell knows what that looks like. Arch came in last week, and he is going to light up Louisiana Monroe this weekend.
The most mind-blowing stat of the weekend was that Arch, still to this day of this early football season, has run faster than Tyreek Hill.
I refuse to believe that.
20.7.
I know the numbers are out there.
20.4.
I know the numbers are out
there. But did he run faster than that NFL ref?
Yes, who chased the Justin Jefferson touchdown, the 97-yarder. That was incredible athleticism.
That's a good poll by you. That's a good. Yeah, did he run faster than that guy?
Who's faster, the NFL ref, Arch Manning, or Tyreek Hill? Who wins in a race?
Do you think Peyton watched that and went, damn it, man, I couldn't get that at all?
No.
None of that genetic.
No, you just got the throwing ability.
We got a loaded second hour of the program. Big weekend for Trent Bray. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.